Hello and welcome back. I am Nelson Fernandez and we are on the quest of discussing this unique topic. Today we're going to talk about MNCs or multinational companies as we know. So what you're going to learn today in this particular class is the learning objectives for today consist of knowing about the nature of a typical multinational concern or company, know about the objectives of an MNC, understand the pros and cons of the MNCs, and to know about the Indian MNC scenario, where India stands, where MNCs are concerned. Now, opening case for you, it's a classic case where Amazon has written to the government or has published this article that the frequent changes that are happening and the abrupt changes that are happening are causing more damage to the global outreach. Like for example, they have also pointed out one particular aspect of removing paperwork for transactions, for online transactions where sellers are exporting globally. So please do read it thoroughly to understand what it says about. I'm just giving you a gist of what it is. So please go through it thoroughly before you can proceed further. Now, understand the nature of multinational companies. What is a multinational company basically? Any company which has operational in more than one company, one nation. Any company which is having operation in more than one nation is a multinational corporation or a multinational company. There exist various terminologies where MNCs are concerned. Okay, they say MNC, which is one of the most popular used term, or multinational organization as we say, or multinational company as we say. There are also other names which are used, which is transnational corporations or TNCs or global companies and so on. So let's understand what they are. Multinational companies or MNCs, multinational corporations. Now they are defined as organization that owns or controls production facilities in more than one country, such as factories, mines, oil refineries, distribution channels, offices and so on. So it operates with full-fledged holdings, where it can talk about factories, it has factories in different locations, it can own mines, it has oil refineries, it has its own distribution network in some foreign land and so on. Then we come to a transnational company, which is if a corporation or if any incorporated or incorporated enterprise comprising of parent enterprise and their foreign affiliates. The parent enterprise controls the assets of other entities in the countries other than the home country. So it is more or less similar to an MNC, slightly difference being that it only controls. A global company, there can be also a global company. A global company, this is an organization that attempts to standardize and integrate operational worldwide in most of all functional areas. So it has normally a central controlled a zone where it controls all companies or its holdings. A multi-domestic company is an organization with multi-country affiliates, each of which formulates its business strategy based on the perceived market differences. Now here we have a companies which based on their different locations, they can formulate their own policies, they can formulate their own way of business forming, they can formulate their own business strategies of how to go ahead with their businesses. Now here are some of the characteristics of a MNC or a multinational corporation. First, the size. The size of the company is normally large enough. It's a huge company, corporation, with large amount of employees, large amount of assets, large amount of holdings. Second, international operations. Any MNC you pick up, it is called basically an MNC because it has international operations. So all MNCs will have international presence, international operations, and they will be operating in more than one, two countries also. Productive organization, definitely with the large amount of size and large amount of knowledge base that it has, it is able to control most of the branches all abroad, most of the companies on other different countries, and definitely it gets a productive, it becomes more productive, it becomes more profit oriented, it gains more profit down the course. Worldwide reach. All MNCs have a worldwide reach. You name any MNC in the world, it will have a worldwide reach where it is able to cater a lot of customers across boundaries. Oligopolistic nature or oligopolistic structure. Now, what happens is normally in MNCs, they, on the way of expansion or on the way of business, they acquire a lot of new companies. They take over a lot of companies, and that is how also they grow in size. Sometimes this nature also can become a negative part also for the company. But most of the MNCs will find either they develop their own businesses abroad or they also switch over to things like takeovers or mergers and so on. Ownership and control. The ownership and control normally is centralized, but there are many corporations which have given ownership, most of the controls to other people, but then still in any of the cases, the ownership and control remains with the parent company, remains with the parent management group. Corrective transfer of resources. Now, being into the global market, being into different countries, they have a collective transfer of resources, where resources can flow from one country to another country, from one place to another place easily. Transfer of technology. Now again, it is not possible for every country, every company in every country to develop its own technology or own knowledge. Now there is definitely a transfer of knowledge because there is a lot of database which these MNCs collect from various operations which they have in different countries. And based on these operations, all this data which is collected is helpful for them to do business in new countries with no zero knowledge of that country. So they implement knowledge which they've acquired in this particular country and they use this knowledge to build up their business in the new countries. Marketing superiority. Most of them are big brands. Most of them have presence in the market. Most of them know the market thoroughly. So for marketing their products, it becomes much easier. And they get an edge over other companies where marketing is concerned. So definitely they are much, much superior where marketing is concerned. High efficiency, definitely being such a large organization with such a structured this and experience, they will be highly efficient companies. Highly professional approach to run a business. Now normally in MNC you will find they do not just randomly pick up a country or they randomly do start a business. Now if they want to start a business, they'll first think about where they want to start a business, then they'll do a proper market search study, they'll appoint some people over there who can help them with that. After they have studied the market and so on, then that is the time that they will start implementing their policies and plans based on the market research that they have done. Now these are some of the top 10 companies which are there, MNCs in the world. Now these all feature in the 500 Fortune list. Okay, these are the global Fortune 500 global listing of 2020. Now at number one, we have Walmart Stores, which is a US-based company and they are primarily into retail. Here we have Chinese companies, which are mainly into petroleum, energy, this petroleum. And we have a mix of Chinese, Netherlands, Saudi Arabia, Germany, UK, USA, and again Japan. Toyota Motors is in the 10 list. So if you see, the top 10 list comprises of companies from various countries. And if you see, it contains also various industries. Though you will tell me the prominent industries, petroleum and energy, but it does have other industries also. Now here's some interesting figures. Combined business of global companies in the 500 list have revenues of $33.3 trillion and profit reaching nearly $2.1 trillion. Massive. The Fortune 500 list 2020 includes China as one of the topmost positions. USA has 3 less companies than China currently. Okay, and they have around 124 organizations. On the number one list is of course Walmart, which is a US-based company. The top two countries are USA and China, of course, because they have a large share. And after them followed is Japan, which has around 53 companies, and France following with 31 companies. So this is how the list comprises. If you want to go into the further list, you can definitely search on the internet. You will find the complete list of the Fortune 500 companies. Now, transnationality index. What is this transnationality index and what does it indicate? Now, it's a meme for ranking MNCs that is employed by economists and politicians. So they don't go by the size of the company, they go by this transnationality index. Now what it does, it calculates as an arithmetic mean of the following three ratios. Now what are the three ratios? The ratio of foreign assets to the total assets, the ratio of foreign sales to the total sales, and the ratio of foreign employment to the total employment. So this basically, these three ratios are considered, and these three ratios form the transnationality index of a company. Now what are the objectives of a MNC? What are the prime objectives? To locate production facilities at a location where it has more competitive advantage, definitely, that's what we also spoke about in some of the classes earlier, is if a company is getting more, a company has a product which is more labor oriented, and if it knows that it finds a labor cheaply, say in countries like China or maybe Bangladesh or Vietnam, so it will try to move the production facility in those locations so that it can take advantage of that competitiveness and try to be more competitive in the overall market, overall pricing. Ensure that it came across or run into a lesser number of obstacles in the host country. Monitor and regulate the business spread, either expand or shrink according to the competitive advantages provided by the global economic situation. Now these companies definitely monitor each and every transaction very carefully, each and every division very carefully. So if it finds that some of the things are not in advantages to them, they definitely shrink the operations. If they find that there is something which is beneficial to them, they'll definitely expand their operations in those kind of locations. Get more sales and in turn ensure higher return of investment on the invested capital. Definitely everybody is doing business for profits. So if a company doesn't get enough return on investment, it is not going to invest furthermore and get into losses. So it main purpose they will try to get into more sales. And after getting into more sales, it will ensure that they get more return on investments. Take the benefits of trade elements throughout the world, which is currency fluctuations, trade agreements and changes in companies' laws and labor laws. Now, any multinational organization you take, they will try to take basic advantage of whatever laws which are available. Of course, I'm not saying that they're going to go out of the laws, but whenever you talk about any MNC, they will try to take full advantage of the labor laws or any other laws which are available. Take the price advantage to the company by buying and selling goods across the globe. Now, most of the companies, when they fix up global contracts, for the year, or even if they fix up for a month, if the quantities are fixed considering requirements sometimes of all locations with delivery terms that the goods have to be delivered, so much goods have to be at this location, so much goods have this at some other location, because they may be manufacturing the same product maybe at one, two or three locations sometimes. So any MNC will try to take this price advantage because their buyings are bulk and they will enjoy this large scale of buying. So it takes price advantage to the company by buying and selling goods across the globe. Monitor and hold business risk within acceptable limits. As I said, MNCs have a complete system where they monitor each and every operation which is happening in various countries. They monitor each and every product that they are going to sell, and so on. So if they find that anything which is risky or which is going beyond their business limits or which they can have losses into, they are going to take a check on that immediately. So monitor and hold business risk within acceptable limits. Retain the company's strength and improve technological advantage. Now, technology has played very important role where MNCs are concerned, where communication is concerned. Now, communication has become so freely available, free now, because the cost of communication has become drastically has reduced with new technologies coming in. Now, this advantage definitely the MNCs will take, because MNCs rely a lot on this kind of communication which takes place. Monitor and control important decisions. As we have discussed earlier, MNCs, most of the decision making and most of the planning is normally done to a central location. So this central location will definitely monitor and they will control everything which will affect their business. They will not allow anybody else, or they will not allow another branch to just control something and things may go out of their control. So they will try to have more control on things, operations globally. Now, from the objectives, we move to the advantages of an MNC. There are definitely a lot of advantages of having an MNC. First being employment and wealth creation. Now, definitely is when MNCs go to different nations and set up their plants over there, their manufacturing hubs over there, or their offices over there, they create a lot of employment. And employment definitely will lead to wealth creation. So that's one of the biggest advantage of MNCs, is that they create a lot of employment. Benefit to customers. Now, it has happened in the past, and there are many examples which you can find that because of the MNCs, there are some products which were either not accessible to the normal consumer, or they were accessible at a much, much higher price, have been now made available to the consumer at a much lower price at the doorsteps. So there have been classic examples of such. So there is definitely consumer has benefited where the price of the product has either got down or the product have been now available to them. Growth of other sectors. Now, MNCs normally, with the presence of MNC, there will be also growth of other sectors, because there is will be some dependency of MNCs on the other sectors also. Also, a lot of MNCs also diversify into other sectors, which also leads to the growth or rebuilding of the of lot of other sectors other than the core sector. Sometimes most of the MNCs are into manufacturing, but now because they have of their presence, they can get also into service also. There are a lot of MNCs now in the service sector also which are coming up, who are going to various countries as service MNC. Use of capital. Now, with the large amount of capital that they have, with a large amount of profits that they are generating year on year, now these are the MNCs who can now really start investing into different activities which are more capital oriented. For example, let's take example of R&D. Now, many of this we have these pharmaceutical giants which are there existing in the world. Now, they invest a lot of capital in the R&D of products. So once when they invest product, there are a lot of capital in this research and development, they come up with a lot of new products which definitely will help people in the long run. Now, this sort of investment cannot be done by a small organization. It requires large amount of capitals, which is only possible to be done by an MNC. Setting and ensuring minimum standards. Now, MNCs have set up their own standards. They have work on a standard operating process where operations are concerned. They also work on a standard line where business is concerned. So they have their own processes in place. Access to consumers. Now, with this large amount of operations that they have, large amount of database is created. They have a large amount of database of consumers. So for them to access the consumer is fairly easy than any other small corporation. Access to labor. Now, if again the example comes up is if they want cheaper labor and they are not finding cheaper labor in one particular location. Now they being of that particular size and being cash rich, being with a lot of capital, they can easily move out to different new locations where they can find easy labor. So for MNCs to move out, it becomes very easily. The MNCs to find out new locations becomes very easy. Overall development. Now with MNCs coming into picture, there is job development, there is definitely employment which is created, there is definitely manufacturing that is created, there is definitely other opportunities that are created, which will definitely lead to an overall development of the country by itself. Technology. Now MNCs come with a lot of technology and they use all this technology in their new locations. So whenever there is an MNC coming up to a new location, you can be sure that they're going to bring along with them a lot of technological know-how which will be utilized in this new location for developing new products or for redeveloping those existing ones. Research and development, as you spoke in this point on capital, research and development is one of the major key areas of an MNC. They invest a lot of money in R&D for creating new products, for creating new services. And this doesn't stop. It's an ongoing process. So you'll find wherever there are MNCs operating, there's a lot of new things which are happening, new products that are happening. Exports and imports definitely will increase with the amount of MNCs. The countries, now if they've set up plant in India, they will also try to start exporting from India to other locations. So definitely your export has increased. There's going to be import increase also because they're going to buy a lot of raw material from abroad. So this results in a lot of increase in exports and import activity. And this will also help in the country in stabilizing the BOP issues. Reduction of protectionism and reduction and restricting the local monopolies. Now, this is one of the very, very positive side of an MNC is whenever they go and if they've identified a particular business opportunity in a particular country, and if there is an MNC, if there is already a local player who is having monopolistic practices in that country, MNCs can break those monopolistic practices easily because of their presence. When they go into the market, they're going to go full-fledged with all their knowledge, with all their research, and this will create healthy competition in the country, which will result in definitely beneficial and benefits to be received by the consumer. Now, moving from the advantages of an MNC, let's understand and see what are the problems, because MNCs will also bring a lot of problems with them. Now, some of the problems which MNCs bring along with them, for which they are criticized, is MNCs often have monopolistic poly power which enable them to make an excess profit. Now this has happened in many locations or many case studies you will find on the internet which talks about this monopoly being created by an MNC. Now the MNC, when an MNC comes into the market, it will definitely try to get more business, it will definitely try to increase the sales, and in that bargain most of the times they kill competition. They kill the local suppliers, they kill the local manufacturing and create a monopoly by themselves. And this will help also again helps the MNC to get more profits, more sales. And this again is a problem again for the consumer. So MNCs have a tendency of getting monopolistic. The market dominance makes it difficult for local small firms to thrive. Again, take any example, now with MNCs coming in, people like Walmart coming in and so many other people coming in, the supermarkets coming in. Now there are, after with lot of supermarkets coming in, the local baniya or the local retailer, what we used to call, is actually phasing out. Because they are not able to sustain the competition which is given by this big malls, by these big supermarkets. Because sometimes the price given is to you, the consumer, is so low that and people start demanding the same price with the retailers, which is sometimes not possible for the retailer. So sometimes this market dominance happens. Threat to local or domestic organizations and the business and operations. Again, similar example which we can share is when an MNC comes into picture, there is a problem sometimes that the local manufacturer can go out of business. Threat to the economy and political sovereignty of the host economies. host countries. Now this MNC is being such massive in size and such massive in the operations, they do influence the economic and political sovereignty of a country to a large extent. There is no reason not to believe in that they can affect, because they have all the capital, they have all the technology, and they are into business. They are into business for profits only. So they will definitely affect the political sovereignty of host country. Loss to environment and degradation of natural resources. Classic example recently, what we have been hearing about is the Adani issue in Australia, where people have opposed Adani coming into because it may destroy the coral reefs. Even a classic example of same Adani coming into Goa, which people are opposing because of the coal mines that they're going to explore. So there is a possibility that these MNCs may degrade the natural resources and may affect the environment to a large extent. Large sum of money flows to foreign countries as payment towards profits, which results in less efficiency for the host country. This is what I was talking about profit repatriation. Normally, when an MNC comes into the country and they start making profits, they will definitely start sending money back to their parent company. Now, this sending back of money is called repatriation of funds or repatriation of profits. This profits, whatever is generated over here with the operations done in this country, in this host country, will definitely be sent back to the parent company. So there is a lot of money which is going to go out of the country also. Stringent laws applicable in the host countries may result in problem for the MNCs. Now this also happens many times, because sometimes countries also put, normally if we talk about normal terms also, there will be more regulations on an MNC to operate than a local company. This is a common phenomenon world over. So if an MNC is going to come and operate, it will have more process to follow than the local company. Now this may result sometimes in problems for the MNC in the functioning what they do. So this may result sometimes in MNC completely backing up or closing down the operations also. Issues pertaining to intellectual property rights. Now with such a big operation coming into picture, there will be definitely issues of intellectual property rights which may occur, because they are going to bring a lot of intellectual properties along with them when they come to the host nation. Now we are talking about from the advantages and disadvantages, we are moving on to the Indian MNC scenario, where India stands in this MNC thing. Now there are 7 Indian companies in the Fortune 500 list. Okay, so we are in number. Now this is the list of Reliance, Indian Oils, Oil and Natural Gas is ONGC, State Bank of India, Bharat Petroleum, Tata Motors and Rajesh Exports. Now if you see, most of the companies are into oil, refining, petroleum. We have a banker over here, State Bank. We have Tata Motors who are into automobiles, and we have Rajesh Exports who are into retail of gold, retail business for gold jewelries. So this is how this many people are there in the top 500 list, global list. Now, in the recent years, wide factors have accelerated overseas investments in India. Now, these are some of those factors which have affected the Indian business scenario. Like for example, this 1991, India opened up, there was a series of globalization. The term globalization was coined in India by the then, the Prime Minister involved was, I think, Mr. Rajiv Gandhi, and the Finance Minister was Dr. Manmohan Singh. Now that is the time the whole process started, when India was running into the BOP issues, and then we had the globalization, Indian economy opening up. Now ever since this, there have been a lot of companies who have come forward and started operating internationally. The opening up of Indian economy in 1991 and the resulting tighter integration with the global economy have powered Indian organizations' global ambitions. Rapid domestic economic growth has provided a robust base for expansion for them to globalize, deliver goods, financial to deliver goods financial performance and is excess of capital. There has been capital inflow which has been also been given to a lot of these Indian companies, and Indian companies have started really working out their ways through after these reforms were introduced to go out, venture out, form a lot of joint ventures and start becoming MNCs. Now in this era, there was a free trade regime, and it is expected that the number of Indian organizations going global is making acquisitions will grow. In recent times, successful Indian companies have been considered as good bets for acquisitions. Now, even if you find a lot of foreign companies, MNCs are coming to India and picking up or acquiring lot of Indian companies who have been doing good businesses. Similar way, a lot of Indian companies also have gone abroad and they have acquired lot of companies whom they found that they could help be helpful for them in their businesses. And this is going to go on, and this India is going to be aggressive on this. Here are some examples. The recent acquisition of Flipkart done by Walmart. Walmart acquisition of Flipkart is the biggest ever in India, with the US-based retail giant spending nearly $16 billion. Walmart acquired 77% stakes in Flipkart, making it one of the largest acquisitions involving an Indian company in 2018. Another example is about Modern Foods, whom we also know, very popular brand. It is to make breads. Now another recent example, Modern Food, it is a company behind the iconic bread bakery brand Modern Breads, is changing now. Now here is the case study for you to read in detail. Now this is about the same company what we are talking about, the Modern Food, the Modern Group. Now the Modern company was established as a PSU, public sector unit by the government, and the primary purpose was making breads. It was renamed as Modern Foods. Later it was sold to Hindustan Lever. It had the bread company with a 40% market share. Then again, Hindustan Lever sold it to a Singapore-based company. And now, recently in 2021, it has been taken over by the Mexican group by the name of Bimbo, which also you must have heard, Bimbo Breads. So now, Modern is manufactured in 40 factories across the country. And South India has a major share. It enjoys a 60% share in South Indian market. So this is how the scenarios are changing. Lot of Indian companies are taking over foreign companies. Lot of foreign companies are coming to India and tapping opportunities, seeing the opportunity which is available, tapping those opportunities, taking over those companies and setting up the businesses in India. This is how things are going to change. MNCs are going to change the future for India. Thank you.